Welcome to the Panic Button Podcast, brought to you by XXXChurch.com. Each episode, Craig Gross answers a question or two that has got you in a panic. No topics are off limits, and all questions are encouraged. Here is your host, Craig Gross.
I got this question that says, my son is gay, what do I do? And, man, there's a lot here. A lot. And so it was interesting because I asked my son about that. I just said, hey, what would you think? And he's like, well, what does it matter what the parent thinks? What about the kid? And I think that that's just so true. I think we live in a day and age where it's just like we have a generation, especially like if you're religious. And so I don't call myself religious, but I grew up in the church and I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And so I think there's a lot of image to keep up inside the church. And so you don't know what to do and you don't think that's right. And then you don't. You initially go to, how's this going to affect me and my small group or my image or my reputation? And we don't think about what our kid is going through. So this email that came to me was like 3 pages long. And it's from a Christian mother who's just like terrified that she suspects her kid is gay. And what do I do? And then goes on to give me verse after verse about why this is wrong and all this stuff. It's like, none of that's going to change your kid, whether he's gay or not. And so I've sat with this. I haven't known kind of how to respond. And last night I watched the movie Believer, which follows a guy named Dan from the frontman of Imagine Dragons, pretty popular band, that married a gal that wasn't a Mormon that decided, and Dan's a Mormon, and so the Mormon church is probably tighter on this with rules and regulations than the Christian church. Because the Christian church, you could find a church today that's going to have a flag out in front that's going to affirm this. You can find a church that's going to accept this. And then you can find a church that doesn't accept this. But the Mormons are done, it's more kind of top down. There's one Mormon church. So they have certain stances, like first polygamy. Then they came out years ago saying, well, that's wrong. Now, then they had a stance against African Americans. Then they kind of wait for the church as a whole to change their stance. And right now their stance says something like, you're not accepted, you can't be involved in the church at all. And I think they've even gone so far as to say, like, you'll be banned from your family from eternity forever. So some Christian pastor might say that, but like, that's really hard. I mean, that's super hard to hear. And so Dan is like, hey, his wife actually wasn't raised Mormon, and so she's like, this is the one problem I have with your religion. So they get married, and he just like, yeah, but that doesn't affect us. So I think that's true. Like, a lot of us go, that's not my family, I don't need to deal with it. And then he got a barrage of emails over the years saying, hey, I know you're Mormon, but I'm gay, and like, what do you think about this? And so he's just like, I just didn't respond. And he set out and he did this documentary called Believer. It's on HBO, and you should get it. Like, go watch it, even if you don't have HBO. Get a free trial for a month and just watch this one thing, or spend $10 just to watch it. This is great. More people need to watch and understand something like this. He didn't make a movie to come out to say, oh, I'm gay affirming. He made a movie to come out and say, I think we need better conversations about this. We're lacking. We don't need more sermons. We need more listening, folks, more conversations. And so it's phenomenal. You'll cry, you'll learn a lot, you'll watch, and you'll just go, man, this is amazing. And so I watched it last night. There was parts in it that broke, like I cried. There's other parts that I go, that's not true. But I applaud this guy who I like his music, and I go, man, You did the right thing by opening up a new conversation. So a couple thoughts here. I've got a lot of thoughts. I'm just kind of swirling around in my mind of going, now, if your kid has come to you or you suspect this, realize this. They're stuck. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know if it's safe to even talk to mom or dad. There's a high chance that it's not safe to talk to anyone in their church. And then there's the fear of I might be banned forever from God. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's fair, and I don't even think it's fair to think about your feelings. Well, what are people going to think about me? Put yourself in your kid's shoes. This documentary does a great job of listening and understanding what these kids are going through. The highest killer of kids in Utah is suicide. Because of things like this. There's no outlet. And so Dan went on to not just change the Mormon church. He went on, and that's not what he set out to do, is to have a conversation and go, man, people need to be enlightened. And so he created a festival called Love Loud, where he could create some honest conversations. I went to his website and I was just kind of blown away by their mission is to ignite the vital conversation about what it means to unconditionally love, understand, accept, and support our LGBTQ friends and family. He ran into a lot of roadblocks. A lot of people that said, no, we can't support this, and what you're doing, you just should stop. There's one scene in the movie where a 12-year-old girl in their Mormon church gives a testimony, and she starts talking about being 12 and loving the Lord, but also saying that I am a gay child. And in the movie, her mom is videotaping this on her iPhone. Her microphone gets cut from her and she stops. And they kind of push her off the stage. They don't physically push her. They just say, you're done. And isn't that so true what we do? We don't understand something, so we don't give you the microphone and we just don't want to talk about it. And we just want it to go away. I that's the part I cried. I was like, oh my gosh, like they did that to her. Why? Like, how many times you hear a 10-year-old, or they'll get up in church or whatever, or in youth group, and say something that's not theologically maybe sound, but it's cute, and you're like, man, my kid said this or did this, and yet here's a 12-year-old just going, I love the Lord, and I'm growing up, and I'm a homosexual, and Jesus, you know, still loves me, and they just turn her mic off. Fast forward to the end of the movie, and she's at the Love Loud Festival, and she gets a standing ovation by her peers and friends and people at a rock concert that accept her and love her more than people in a church. And for your kid, whoever wrote this question to me, when you get love and support from others outside your family or your church, and you get hate, and you got to fix that. You got to pray the gay away. You got all that stuff that it's wrong. It's wrong. It's why people are leaving the church, leaving religion, want nothing to do with religious people. Because maybe it's the religious people that have gotten things all wrong. Like the audacity to like turn off a microphone. Like I just was so pissed watching that. And your kid comes to you and says they're gay. Just know that that's what they're up against. A church or a belief system that says that now God is banning them for eternity. I find it fascinating that like, yeah, we say those things. And this to me isn't about a stance, or it isn't about, oh, Craig's coming. Like, none of that. Like, this is about how do you respond to kids in your family that don't have any other place to go to, and put yourself in their shoes for 5 minutes, for 5 hours, and have a conversation rather than try and fix them, rather than try and give them more Bible verses, rather than try and tell them what you think God is thinking. Because God loves them unconditionally. We take parts of Scripture and we camp out on those. And oftentimes we find the parts of Scripture that don't affect us that we love to talk about. Funny, in the Bible it says don't indulge your body with food and sex in the same passage. We have the largest, we have some of the most successful pastors in the world that are obese. Not overweight, obese. That's a sin. Oh, Craig, what do you know about that? You're 145 pounds. You've never struggled. Like, I've got, yeah, get it. I get it. All that stuff you're going to fire back at me because I just said this. I'll listen. I'm not judging. And I didn't say it. But did I hit a nerve? Oh, because that one's personal. That one, like, no, Jesus has compassion for you, but not for your son. There's a scene in the movie where one of these kids, I guess, went to BYU and he found out he had premarital sex and they kicked him out of college for 5 years. He hung himself. Like, this stuff needs to change, that, like, this morality police that we think Jesus is really isn't. He loves you. He came for all that, so none would perish, but we all might live. The thief on the cross did nothing right, probably, in his life. I mean, maybe he did. But he was crucified. He's a criminal. And Jesus says, hey, there's room for you tonight, in eternity, forever. My problem with this is, like, when your kid comes to you, realize he's got nowhere else he probably can go. And if he can't come to you, where can he go? And if he can't come to his church, where can he go? And when I was blown away by what this guy did was create this festival for a place that just has some conversations so both sides learn to understand each other a bit more. That's what's important in this. Not a stance, not another verse, not another thing that you can throw at somebody. Because I can throw back at you 20 more verses. Yeah, you fat pastor that is preaching this garbage that says this guy can't get in or this gal because they're gay, yet you abuse your body every day at Golden Corral. Like, I even thought, like, it'd be fun to do a parody site that basically said, this is a church for people that are only in their ideal body weight. And if you're overweight, you know, you're lukewarm. But, like, if you're obese, you're out of God's plan. I mean, that's just how my mind goes. I was sitting there going, this would be funny. This would be great. This would prove a point that, like, I'm going to create a church that's only inclusive to people that are actually in the right body weight. Because the Bible's clear that, like, obesity is a sin. But have you ever heard a pastor talk about it? No, because 70% of them are obese and overweight, and nobody, their belly's pushing the pulpit that they're spewing this garbage out at to you about your son and his gay lifestyle, yet they're at the buffet or at Sizzler afterwards. What's the problem there? The problem is hypocrisy, and it's why this generation that's behind us, I'm 42, is not interested in this. They're interested in creating more conversations with people, not more rhetoric and not more bad theology that says, well, you're out and I'm in. There's a clip in the film that talks about, I think it's from the Mormon church, and it's a guy saying that the gay lifestyle is an addictive lifestyle and it's your upbringing and all these. It's just not true. I have gay friends. I have a number of people that I know are gay that have not, their parents didn't do anything wrong in their upbringing to cause that. So the audacity that we speak some of this stuff and say things that just aren't true. Sit with a gay person and go, hey, how hard was it for you to come out? How many times, I mean, I'm sitting with a guy right now who's dating women, but likes men, but he can't be accepted if he likes men in his church or this or his family. So he's trying, but he keeps hooking up with guys. And you know what I do? I just sit and listen. Because I don't understand it. It's not me. It's not what I've started. I've always liked women. But if somebody says, hey, Craig, you have to like men, like, or you can't just shift that. You can't pray the gay away. Like, all that stuff's been proven that, like, no, that did disastrous harm for people. So what's the alternative? Oh, okay, we'll be celibate. Like, we don't have good alternatives right now. And we're looking for stances and things like that when we should just be, I think, learning and sitting and listening. And I have a problem when we can't go to our church or our homes or our mother's writing me an email that she thinks she's going to fix her kid. No, you're going to drive your kid to suicide. You're going to drive your kid to running away from your house, to running away from God, when in reality, don't we want our kids to run towards God and run towards us in these times? And your theology and your rhetoric is going to turn them the other way. Be careful of that. So to this mom who writes me, I say, sit and listen. Have a conversation. Invest some time into that. Don't point the finger. I have friends, close friends, that the son came out gay in college. And this is a great Christian family, heavily involved in church. And their response was, you're not allowed with your boyfriend to our family affairs. We're not going to tell anybody in our family about this. Your younger brother's not going to know. And we're going to pretend this doesn't exist. Guess what that message sends to him? It sends the message that we're going to pretend you don't exist either because we don't accept you. That's not what God says. It got so bad that the tension, I think, killed their father. He had a heart attack. He's young. No reason he needed to go. Healthy, active. He couldn't fix his kid. That's just my thoughts. It's not my, I'm not trying to be, I think there's something there. Because they never told their small group because they couldn't come to the fact that, like, I'm going to tell the people that we journey with the most about what we're going through. We're going to hide it. We're going to suppress it. We're going to pray and we're going to hope it goes away. But what happens if it doesn't go away? You know, the only thing that's going to go away is your kid because he's not allowed to bring his boyfriend to your family for Christmas, and you can't tell grandpa, and you can't tell your brother. That's bullshit. That is not the gospel. Jesus, the thief on the cross, yeah, you're in tonight. Remember me tonight. Like, the Bible that the Bible I read, I mean, I have questions. I have thoughts. I don't have that issue that I'm going through with a family member or myself. So I can't put myself 100% in your shoes. And I think those of us that are coming up with these stances or these thoughts, or, man, we've never been there. We don't know what it's like. And in this movie, you go rent it, go watch it. It helps you sit in their shoes a little bit longer for an hour and a half. And you go, man, I have a lot to learn. And it's sad in a world that we live in that will pull a microphone away from a 12-year-old in a church, but she has a standing ovation in a rock concert. And we wonder why people don't want to go to church. Do I really think fat people aren't going to heaven? No. It's the dumbest thing. I said it because it sounds so dumb, but so does your language that you spit out about a God that I love, that I know, that doesn't think this way, that if you do this, you're not in. We had a conversation today with our son about premarital sex. It's his decision whether he wants to have sex or not. I can't force that. He said, hey, I want to not have sex till I was married. Hey, you know what? I can help you with that goal. I can help you with that. I can help you achieve that. Not everything. It's going to be, you know, that's a decision you have to make. But guess what? If you do, I still love you. If you don't make that goal, that's an audacious, great goal to have. It's like less than, what, 3% of people are going to do that now? But, like, that's great. But I love you regardless. God loves you regardless. Every day we fall short, and that's why we need God. So for you to say to your son, well, we'll love you if you don't do this, or you're not allowed, like, that's not unconditional. And I think we need to be in more places and have more conversations. We need to be more open to things that we don't know anything about. We need to read the Bible in its entirety, not sections, and not pull out things or pull out one passage about sex that has the word food in it as well, but disregard that. Do I think there's a problem with obesity in America? Do I think that's a bigger issue than this gay issue? Oh, 100%. Look at, like, cancer. Look at the addiction to now medicine. Look at the stuff we're eating. Look at why don't we camp out there? Oh, that one hits home, Craig, because too many people are struggling and addicted to food and abusing their bodies. It's easier to talk about gays because that's not our issue. It's easier to talk about something that we don't deal with. Way easier. It's not right. I think we need to sit more with people, have more conversations, speak less, listen more, and invite more people to the party. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be more people at the party than we ever thought there would be. I think the people we thought we'd meet at the party aren't going to be there, in all honesty. The Pharisees. The Pharisees. Oh, is this Craig's official stance on gays? No, it's not an official stance on anything. It's saying, you know what I'm willing to do is have more conversations because I don't understand it. I don't understand the pain and all the things that they have to go through. And I don't understand the abuse that we give out at the church at a place that's supposed to be a hospital, yet feels more like a prison. If it's your kid in your house, I don't care how it's going to affect you. I care about your kid and what they're going through right now. Your small group will be fine. Your little Christian community will be fine. Your kid might not be. From the suicide rate to the leaving the church, from leaving your household, there's bigger issues here at play. I think we need to create more places that are safe, and we need to open our eyes to be obviously more like Jesus. And I think this idea of you have to be a certain way, look a certain way, do a certain thing in order to be included in God's family or my family is just not simply the case. I told my son, hey, no matter what you do, it's like I'm always going to love you. I whether you fail at this or you succeed at this, like I'm here for you. And if we have that approach with people, I think we're in a way better place. They'll be in a way better place. I think it's pure hypocrisy and bad theology when we say, oh yeah, I mean, I say Jesus loves porn stars. I've said it for 18 years. It's true. He doesn't love porn stars once they're out of the industry. He loves you he loves you regardless. My friend Brittany got out of the porn industry, gave her life to the Lord. Guess what? It took her 3 years after she came to know the Lord to leave the industry. This is a journey. And life is kind of messy. To just tell somebody, oh, we'll accept you once you end that. And I love that. I don't get the fact that, too, we camp out so much about the sex part, yet Christians are having the worst sex out of anybody. And yet we want to assume that, like, being gay is just about sex. No, think about all your relationship right now. You married couples that are not having sex. You still have a wife or a husband, and you're enjoying the relationship, the intimacy of the relationship, despite of just the sex. We go right now to, oh, well, you can't have sex. We don't have a lot of options. And our answers are just not really good enough to just say, well, you know, we love you, but talk to me when you're done with that phase of your life. Watch this film. I think you'll be blown away. And if your kid feels safe enough to come to you, count that a blessing right there, because there's so many kids that I know couldn't even come to their own parents. And if they can't come to you, where do they go to? Sit with them, learn from them, listen. I think we'll be in a better spot. I know it's heavy, but thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Panic Button Podcast. If you want Craig to answer your question on an upcoming episode, please email panicbutton@xxxchurch.com. Or if you're using the Anchor app, please go to your user profile, tap the message button, and hit record, and then hit save, and then send it.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.